We have a microphone turning on here in a moment. Ah, there we go. Good morning, everybody. So focus, focus, focus. You in the back. We get this rolling so everybody can go outside and enjoy their sunlight and get their time outside today as well. Good morning, everybody. So today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming LCUUC activities and events. It is portable and can be carried home to use to update your calendar. You could even, if you have a magnet, hook it to your refrigerator. If your refrigerator's magnetic as well. Everyone is welcome to attend any of these events. There was an insert as well. If you didn't grab one of those in the back, take a look at that on some other upcoming events. LCUUC is a UUA-affirmed welcoming congregation, and we are open to all, regardless of whom they love or what pronouns they use. Come and explore what community can mean for you. And now please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics you may have here with you today as we begin our service. Thank you. May human kindness show us the way to be in community together, and may our chalice remind us to be kind. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, There Is Love. Directions will follow here as I walk you through how we're going to sing it. So we will be using the words printed in the order of service. Note that the first time through, we use the singular pronouns. The second time through, we use the plural pronouns. So the first time through is, there's love holding me, there's love holding all that I love, there's love holding all, I rest in this love. And then the second time through, we substitute the us, the we, and the we. So we're going to do the whole thing, both verses, three times. For those who are mathematically inclined, that's a total of 6 verses, with the odd verses being singular and the even ones. I'm sure you have this all figured out. Follow the choir.
We're here today to talk about the kind of love that isn't always nice. The kind of love that tells you that you have spinach in your teeth, or that your zipper is unzipped. We're going to explore the fact that being nice and being kind are not the same thing at all. And we're going to think about the fact that sometimes niceness isn't kind. If we want to walk in that light of love for one another, sometimes we have to shine that light into the heart and soul of why we do what we do. And we have to examine whether we're doing it for ourselves or for the people around us, or just because we don't know what else to do and it seemed polite. I'm so glad that you are all here today to deepen your understanding of the paradox around kindness. So please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
Hello.
You guys do that all so well. Maybe we should just have a service that we just go around and everybody greet everybody. Yeah. So welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. I'm also the vice president, or as I like to say, president of vice for the church in the coming year. So if you have any questions or anything like that, hunt me down after in the social hour and so on, and I'd be happy to tell you more about the church. Whether you're with us today for only the day or here for a lifetime, we are glad that you have chosen to join us for worship, community, and celebration.
Once upon a time, back when we all still used to carry money in our wallets, most folks used the offering plate to fulfill their pledges. Any of you remember little envelopes that you would put actual dollars in and toss in there? That's been a while. Nowadays, most folks just click on the church website or set up automatic transfers from their checking account. Some still write a monthly check to pay their church bill when they pay all the rest. But passing the offering plate was never just a practical exercise in getting money. It's always been a ritual. And even if your pledge is paid up, it's worthwhile, even if you just bring a dollar, to drop into the plate as a ritual reminder of that form of love that we call generosity. Let it be a reminder that after meeting our obligations to ourselves and our households and the communities to which we belong and which we are committed, we must still keep our capacity to give. The practice of giving until it is second nature and first response helps to bring forth the realm of love into the world. The morning offering will now be given and gratefully received. Thank you so much for everything that you do for your church and for all these gifts which we have given and received. As the church of the open mind and the loving heart, part of what we are is a community of support for one another. And as a community of human hands and human hearts, this is the time in our service where we come together to bear witness to one another's lives, and to witness and minister to one another. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle up here at the candle table. But during the service, we speak aloud, and we light our candles together. So if you have a joy you'd like to share or need us to be with you in holding a concern, please raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a microphone. I'd like to light our first candle today. It's a candle of sorrow and concern for the people of Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi, please light a candle of gratitude for my husband's health. He had a heart attack last weekend, but is doing very well. And we've had just such an outpouring of support from neighbors, friends, and so we're doing well. Thank you.
This is Jerry. I'd like to follow up with Amy's candle of concern, not just for the people of Charlottesville, it's for all of us. What you saw in the news was armed people in black helmets proclaiming that they were the shot heard around the world. Those were stormtroopers, folks. I'm very concerned.
I'd like to light a candle. This is Dave. I'd like to light a candle of joy for Sullivan Krill Sully, who's celebrating his 7th birthday today, and for the rest of his family, who is remembering Sully's twin, Isaac.
And this is Jim. If you would light a candle of joy for the successful week of hosting the Family Promise families here at our facility.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns that we hold deeply in our hearts, but that we haven't been able to speak aloud here today.
If you were to look in a thesaurus, online or otherwise, under nice, you would find the word kind. We use these words interchangeably, on the regular, but I propose that they are not synonymous. In actuality, there is a wide gap between the two. The distinction matters because we so often take kindness for granted and give niceness more credit than it deserves. Being nice looks like polite gestures, compliments, and human courtesy. Being kind looks like servanthood, altruism, and generosity. Niceness is fine and dandy, but kindness is what it takes, is what would make the world a better place. Let's go to the source, shall we? Niceness is rooted in the aim to please. It is externally motivated by the opinions of others. It is surface level and self-sustaining. Rarely do we ever do something nice, holding the door, complimenting someone's shoes, obligatorily asking how the cashier's day is, without expecting at least a thank you in return. You sacrifice nothing in being nice. Half the time, we use it as a tool to placate someone or to get in on their good side. Describing someone as a nice person is what you say when you've only had one interaction with them in which they did not directly offend you. The criteria isn't exactly prestigious. Niceness can come across as saccharine, so why would you choose artificial sweetness when you could have the real thing? Kindness, on the other hand, is rooted in love. Kindness comes from a higher power through the goodness of one's heart. Being kind entails actions like intentionally utilizing someone's love language, paying for the person behind you in the drive-thru, or going out of your way to make a stranger's day. Kindness knows no ulterior motives, but is best friends with compassion and empathy. Kindness causes you to want to invest in other people's lives. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Some translations use gracious or pleasant instead of kind, but not a one uses nice. Parents tell their kids to play nice because children aren't necessarily developed enough as people to act on the deeper trait of kindness. The best people I know are the ones who ooze kindness day in and day out. There's nothing wrong with being a nice person. Don't get me wrong. But I encourage all of us to strive to be kind people. Compliment someone's disposition instead of their designer handbag. Hold someone when they are hurting instead of just holding the door. A little bit of kindness goes a long way. Here ends the first reading.
Given the events of Charlottesville, this service got retweaked and retweaked again and rewritten again. We're on sermon number 3.5. Reverend Derek Jackson, who is a UU minister married to a UCC bishop, wrote this prayer late last night. A prayer for Charlottesville. Holy One of justice, protector of the oppressed, wielder of righteousness. Our hearts are torn by the violence and hatred in Charlottesville. The latest surfacing of the white supremacist culture that undergirds our country. We cry for those who were killed. We pray for healing for those who were injured physically, mentally, and spiritually by this violence, and we ask, when will this end? All we have to hold on to is faith, and faith is the idea that good is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hate. Faith that something unknowable in the world is moving us toward justice. But in this moment, it's easy to see why our faith could be wavering. We're tired of waiting for justice. We're tired of waiting for peace. It's time for things to change. We must name that white people can do terrorist acts in the name of whiteness. We must not settle for language like alt-right, but call it what it is, Nazi fascism. Call them what they are, Nazis. We must not accept things as they are, but work for justice and peace. May we rise up and stop this madness. May we call our leaders to account for explicitly and implicitly condoning white supremacy. May we stand on the shoulders of our justice warrior ancestors and take on their mantles. And may we feel holy blessing to carry on this battle. Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
My friend Marcy and her boyfriend Brian recently ate dinner at a local Chinese restaurant. As they enjoyed a plate of lo mein, engrossed in conversation, a hand reached down and ushered away their platter of noodles. A voice, quick and agitated, mumbled, "Sorry," and a thin, poorly dressed woman left the restaurant with their plate of lo mein. In astonishment, they watched her walk down the street holding the plate with the flat of her hand as she stuffed noodles into her mouth, slapping sharply against her face. The owner realized what had happened and darted out the front door, chasing after the noodle thief. He stood firmly in front of her, blocking her way, and grabbed a side of the plate. A struggle ensued. Noodles slid uneasily from one side to the other, slopping over the edge. He surged forward and pulled with a heroic strong arm attempt to retrieve the plate. The woman's fingers slipped from the plate. Noodles flew, then flopped pathetically on the sidewalk. Left empty-handed with soggy, contaminated noodles at her feet, the woman stood with arms hung dejectedly at her side. The owner walked victoriously back to the restaurant with the soiled plate in hand. My friends were given a new heaping plate of lo mein, although they had already consumed half of the stolen plate. A stream of apology in Chinese came from the proprietor. Unable to eat anymore, they asked to have the noodles wrapped up and set off to see their movie. A block later, they happened to come upon the lo mein thief. The woman was hypercharged. She simultaneously cried, convulsed, and shouted at a man who rapidly retreated from her side. My friend, unsure about what to do, listened to her boyfriend's plea to just walk away. But she didn't. Instead, she walked over to the thief and said, "Ah, we haven't formally met, but about 10 minutes ago, you were interested in our noodles. They gave us some new ones. Are you still hungry?" The woman nodded and extended her bony arms. She took the styrofoam container in her hands, bowed ever so slightly, and murmured, "Thank you. You're very kind." What makes us walk away from discomfort? Or stay? You could say a lot about my friend's story, a lot about generosity, kindness, attention, and thievery. I'm more interested in what motivates us to confront that which makes us uncomfortable and makes us look at the guts and grits of decisions, the choices to not address things that are uncomfortable, uneasy, unbalanced, unnatural, unbelievable. When our foundations start to shake, we can feel the tremors move up our legs and into our torsos, and we want more than anything to make it stop, anyhow, anyway. My friend Marcy could feel herself shake. I know because she told me so. But she chose not to walk away. She dealt with uncomfortableness. She held firm in the muck. Sometimes that's all we need or can do to get to the other side, the side where generosity, comfort, and kindness reside, the side where foundations are firm and stable, where one's shaking walks back to the other side. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 1031 in the teal hymnal. It is incorrect in the order of service. So that's 1031 in the teal hymnal, "May I Be Filled." And this one also has pronoun switches, but you've already done this, so you know it.
There is a love holding me. And there is a love holding all that I love. I rest in that love. I rest in the love that is kind enough to tell me the hard truths. I rest in the love that tells me when my shirt has come unbuttoned or when I'm dragging a length of toilet tissue along. I rest in the love that is kind rather than nice. Because you see, I am not a nice person. Now I know some of you are saying, yes. And in other news, water is wet. Others may be feeling a little confused. I mean, some of us have heard our whole lives, ministers are nice. Boy, you've been lied to. But isn't religion supposed to be nice? Isn't that message what you got? I mean, come on, baby Jesus swaddled in a manger. All those gentle animals, that was the story you heard. Children's illustrated Bibles with angels with big fluffy wings and lovely gowns. They look like they're going to hug you any moment. That's nice. Love your neighbor. That's one of the nice ones. Right? Just nice. Leaves you feeling all warm. You leave the church or the mosque or the synagogue feeling really comfortable. That's nice. Who isn't religion supposed to be nice? Well, you know what? No, it isn't actually. That's manners. You're thinking of manners. Those are nice. Religion isn't supposed to be about nice. Sometimes religion even has some teeth, and sometimes it bites down with them. Here in the U.S., we have a tendency to use nice and kind as some kind of synonym. But niceness often isn't very kind. If you see me walking out of the bathroom and the back of my shirt is tucked up in my pants, and you say, oh, you look lovely today, and I walk around for an hour that way and I go home thinking, wow, I look great. That isn't kind. It was nice, but Lord God, be kind. Niceness is a relational value. It's when you do something to or for or with another person or animal or thing, and it is seen or known by others. Specifically, you can't be nice if nobody knows. It's not nice by definition. Nobody knew about it. It's their judgment of your action that makes it nice as opposed to mean. It appears, with the key word being appears, pleasant or agreeable. Nice is perceptual. Nice can be faked. How many of you in your life have ever met somebody nice? You know the people, all right. You know the ones I'm talking about. Nice can come and go. Somebody can be really nice until it's too aggravating. Then it's amazing how quickly that switch gets flipped. And there's a misapprehension in not just UU churches, but a lot of churches, that we are here to always be nice. We're here to tell one another that every idea is welcome, that every viewpoint will be respected. We're here to appear to be pleasant. We're here to be comfortable always and upheld forever. We're here to always compromise. We're here to always find common ground and ignore the rest. Doesn't that sound nice? No conflict whatsoever. Reverend Kimberly Debus said this, "Our principles, especially the first one, do not tell us to be complacent, compromising, and conciliatory. Our first principle tells us to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, not to affirm and promote every idea. In fact, our fourth principle stops that one in its tracks because, let's face it, there are some wild ideas not based on a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. No, we are not supposed to be nice, she says. Niceness buys into the gospel of comfort and says we don't want to offend. Niceness is complacent. Niceness doesn't make waves. And it lets people have their own version of the truth. You heard of old facts lately? Niceness says you listen politely. Niceness doesn't want to bother anybody. It says comfort is more important than doing what's right. Why do we think we have to be conciliatory and see all sides and strive to be open to all points of view? Why do we think being liked is more important than being right? So let me say again, I am not nice. Kindness, on the other hand, isn't about being nice. It isn't about being liked or being pleasant. Kindness is an internal state of being. Kindness exists even if no one knows about it but you. Still kind. Kindness is a state of heart and soul that says, I really want to do what is right, what will do the most good. Kindness makes waves. Kindness isn't afraid to offend. Kindness can be pretty uncomfortable. Have you ever had to go up to someone and say, hey, I'm sorry, you've got lipstick all over your teeth and you were just talking to those people for 20 minutes? Have you ever had to say to someone in a performance review, or had it said to you, you didn't do a good job? Here's how you can fix that. That's kind, but it doesn't feel very nice. Kindness can sometimes turn over tables and chase money changers out of the temple. Kindness is externally, or is internally motivated. Niceness is external. Niceness is what appears to be. Kindness is internal, actual reality. I try every day to be kind because the world needs kindness. And right now, right this minute, after the events of the last few days, right now is the needed time. Right now is when we need to show up and to care from the heart, not because people are watching, but because we are watching, because we can see, and we want to do what's right. And what's right isn't being nice. Right now, the world needs some tables turned over. Right now, kindness demands that we stop being nice, that we stop pretending that hate is a valid point of view. Right now is the needed time.
Now is the needed time. Right now is the needed time. Now is the needed time. The time is a needed time. Right now is a needed time. Now is a needed time. Now is a needed time. Right now. Right now.
Now.
don't stay long, oh Jesus, if you don't stay long, now is a needed time. I'm praying, come back here, oh Jesus, if you don't stay long, now is a needed time. Oh, now.
Because on Friday night, Unitarian Universalist clergy gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia, with religious leaders from multiple other faiths and denominations. They gathered as counter-protesters because of a planned Unite the Right white supremacist rally, which was ostensibly a protest against removing a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from a local park. There are multiple articles on this. There are videos, but Vox did a nice job of describing it. They said, many Unite the Right protesters were white nationalist and Nazi paraphernalia. A militia arrived armed with heavy weaponry, and some individuals wore Ku Klux Klan imagery. Former KKK leader David Duke was there helping to lead. Police attempted to disperse the rally, and both protesters and counter-protesters began to march through Charlottesville to the university, despite skirmishes and use of tear gas by both sides. By 8 p.m., the counter-protesters, with RUU clergy among them, went to St. Paul's Memorial Church, which quickly filled to capacity with people and lay people. They started to sing and to pray, and at 8:41 p.m., a UCC minister tweeted to her friends and to other ministers, the KKK gathered outside, and a few minutes later, they're outside, but freedom is inside. The service continued, and at 9:20, someone posted, they're coming for the church. Police are all around. They won't let us go outside. The KKK has torches. Ministers around the country sat in horror and worry as friends inside the church messaged, saying that the Klan had ringed the church with citronella torches, which they bought at Walmart and Hobby Lobby. As the KKK members and neo-Nazis ringed the church holding those burning torches, the people started to sing, Up Above My Head. And the prayers went on. Yesterday, those same faith leaders linked arms and walked silently through the streets until they stood in a line. And they stopped because they were faced with militia members armed with M16s. The police did not intervene or attempt to stop the counter-protesters from meeting the militia, who were holding back the original protesters. Reverend Gene Pupke talked to one of the militia members who said very calmly, while holding his M16 pointed at her, we're here to keep those chuckleheads up there from the chuckleheads down here. Down here were the clergy up there with the Nazis. The police did not intervene to keep any of the groups from getting near one another. And the clergy weren't there to be nice. They didn't listen politely to the hateful rhetoric of the neo-Nazis. They didn't pretend like the alt-right had a viewpoint that we needed to listen to and consider. They prayed and they sang over them. They shut them down and shut them out and refused to shut up. Our president, Susan Frederick Gray, was there. Reverend Carlton Elliott Smith, Reverend Gene Pupke, Reverend Tracy Blackman of the UCC, many others. In the face of men with automatic weapons, they moved to block the entrance of the park where the white supremacist rally was scheduled to begin. They weren't nice. They were damn rude about it. We're pretty proud of them. They refused to cede the steps. They refused to let them walk through. And so men holding Nazi flags and shouting, "Heil Trump," pushed their way through a crowd of clergy. While this was going on, another part of the protest was walking peaceably through the streets. They had slowed down to try to let some cars through. The protesters were moving aside and letting a car through, and they're trying to be nice. One person died, and another 25 were injured as a young white male terrorist used his car as a weapon and rammed that peaceful march at 40 miles an hour. One of those hurt was a UU youth from a local church. There were UU kids there. The difference between kindness and niceness is that nice is only concerned about the moment, being pleasant right then and there. It has no concern for the future. It tells us to ignore the graceless, to ignore anything that might cause conflict or bring you into argument. There's an old saying, go along to get along. In other words, just shut up and be nice. My beloved friends, we cannot afford to be nice about these things anymore. We cannot afford to go along, and we most certainly do not want to get along if it is at the price of holding our silence in the face of Nazis in our streets carrying swastika banners. We can be nonviolent and direct. We need to learn to communicate nonviolently and directly. But we can't be nice. We can't politely look away when hatred is so bold that it takes off the white hoods and walks openly in the streets. We cannot be nice when the swastikas are flying above our streets and men holding M16s face down our clergy as they kneel in prayer. We cannot be nice when it is 2017 and I have to rewrite a sermon over and over again because men yelling Sieg Heil, Heil Trump are standing with people holding Confederate flags and claiming that they are going to reclaim our country. As David Duke reminds our president publicly and in writing that it was white Americans who put him in office and that he needs to remember that. We cannot be nice as clergy members watch Nazis with torches circle them. There is a love holding all that I love, and that love is woven through with human kindness. That love is woven through with a kindness which says, I care enough not to be surface nice. I care enough to replace politeness with bold and loving and nonviolent action. I care enough to be kind to my fellow human beings. I care enough to speak up and never shut up. I care enough about the responsible search for truth and meaning and the worth and dignity of human beings and the web that we are all part of to refuse to pretend that evil is a valid point of view. And make no mistake, you have got to speak up. Because white supremacists aren't just them and they. They're not some mystical unicorn out there somewhere. They aren't just the poor and undereducated and out of work who can understandably be hurt and scared because, after all, those people are taking those people's jobs. The men holding torches Friday night were wearing expensive polo shirts and Sperry topsiders and driving Priuses and driving expensive trucks. They're not them and they. They're your doctor and your lawyer. They're your friend at work. James Fields, the young man who was accused of being the driver of the car which rammed the peaceful protesters, he's not a them or a they. And I know it because his mom's my friend. We went to high school together. I found out about 2 a.m. that it was her child that rammed the protesters. It's not a them or a they. He's an us. He grew up about 6 miles from where I was born. It's time to stop being nice. It's time to stop pretending that evil is a point of view. When a family member or friend or coworker is racist or nationalist, don't be nice. We fought a war about this. Open your mouth. When a white supremacist rears its horrible head, don't be nice. When you are shown what hatred looks like, don't be nice. Organize voters and be kind. Work for racial justice and be kind. Fight for equality and be kind. Refuse to accept hatred as a valid point of view because now is the time and this is the place. And to paraphrase Pastor Niemöller, if you continue to be nice, when they come for you, there will be no one left to be kind. Now is the needed time, and you are needed, so please, won't you please open your mouths and be kind?
Now is a needed time, right now is a needed time. Now is a needed time. Now is a needed time. Right now is a needed time. Now is a needed time. Please sing with us. Now is a needed time. Right now. Right now. If you don't stay long, oh my Jesus, if you don't stay long, now
is the needed time.
I'm praying, come, please come back here, oh Jesus, if you don't stay long.
Just a few minutes for a polylogue, so if you have something you would like to say or to add, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
This service applies very well to the Washington, D.C. trip that the youth went on just 2 weeks ago. One of our workshops was on structural racism, and we were with two other groups. So a woman from the second group started talking about this one commercial. I forgot what it was for, some beer, but basically they had, like, people of two opposite opinions come in. So, for example, one was a feminist, and then the other one, for lack of a better term, I guess, like, woman hater. Like, he really hated women. And the two didn't. And then there was one of, like, Black Lives Matter, and then somebody who was racist, and et cetera. And they went into a room, and they started talking, but they didn't know each other's viewpoints. And then it was revealed each other's viewpoints, and then the company gave them a beer, and they sat down and drank a beer and together. And the woman was like, yeah, so that's what we should be doing, right? We should be just, like, listening to each other and talking to each other. And then the woman that was leading the workshop stopped everybody, and she said, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing, because the opposite person who was racist, the person that hated the other gender, that was wrong, and we can't just accept violent and hateful opinions. And I think when I first heard what she said, I was kind of shocked, because everything up until that point had taught me to accept everything. And it clears that up even more, what you were talking about. So I think it is prevalent in our culture to be nice but not to be kind.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Barb. The guys in the restaurant used to have the saying, nice people don't get anything done. They're too busy being nice.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Gus. Amy, as you know, I've been in dialogue with an evangelical minister down in Woodstock. We meet at the Starbucks, and we have conversations about the veracity of scriptures and tradition and all that. So, but when it comes down to when the conversation gets uncomfortably close to sexual orientation and what the Bible has to say about it or whatever, I am attempting to be as nice as possible in this discussion, not to offend this young man who is sitting there with his Greek dictionary looking at the Greek New Testament excuse me, Christian scriptures. And eventually I had to get to the point where I felt like there was a wall there. And I simply had to tell him the reason why I have to bracket those comments about homosexuality in the scriptures is because I find them very offensive. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't have a decent argument at my command right now, but I can tell you, I find your attitude about homosexuality insulting. If God is love, then my love for Joe is of God, and clearly the scriptures must be in error at some point there. And to compare me with alcoholics, which is what he was doing, saying that, well, alcoholics are sinners, whatever, but we have to be kind to them. I think he should have used the word nice there, was condescending.
Yeah.
And I just feel like in a situation like that, I had to speak up. I was exhausted for the next 4 hours because it was touching on a very sore spot. But one other thing I want to add is there's a place in the Christian scriptures where I believe Jesus tells the disciples to not be afraid of what they're going to say. I can't remember exactly where it is. Not to be afraid of what they're going to say because the Holy Spirit will speak through them. We have to have the confidence, whether you believe in God or not, that somehow a spirit is going to speak through you when you need to. And if you're a vehicle for that spirit, it'll happen.
This is Mike. A few years ago, I was a member of the YMCA in the men's locker room. There were these righteous right-wingers that would spew whatever claptrap Fox News was calling the most important thing of the day. I've had an enjoyable time occasionally, what I call poking the bear, because I would go and just argue with them. And I was called some really nasty things. They get really upset and rattle the ceiling tiles and go stomping out of the room. That was, I felt, was good practice for actually, now I have to go to work, and you hear the same claptrap, but now you got to be nice there, because for cohesion or whatever, cooperation within work, you actually have to, you know, be nice to people, even though you vehemently disagree with them. So how do we get practice on being able to parry the punches that, you know, when you're trying to be nice, but also be kind at the same time? Make sure you're
not getting fired.
What?
Make sure you're not getting fired all the time.
Yeah, that too. Okay. So.
And a lot of it is just simple, honest, and again, nonviolent communication and directness. You know, when somebody says to you, well, you know how it goes, you know, at work. No, I don't. I don't agree with that viewpoint at all. I'm sorry. I have other things I need to do right now. Disengage. It doesn't have to be head-bursting confrontation. I'm not telling anyone, lose your job because you yell at somebody in the stockroom. But also, don't give them the nice and comfortable illusion that you agree with them. I don't want to talk about this with you because I don't find anything you say valuable. I'm sorry. On this subject. Walk away. Be polite. Don't lie, though. Don't let them think by your omission that you are somehow on board with what just came out of their mouth.
Just follow up on it. Was like, that's what I tend to try to use with the Socratic method, just asking leading questions so that they can, you know, hopefully planting a little seed of a doubt or, of what their ideas are. But, you know, I know they go back to their own little clique of group and, you know, whatever I had is forgotten, but at least it made me feel better.
This is Claire. Earlier this week, I was at work at Costco, and I was a breaker for a couple of friends at work. They get their lunch break. I work while they go take their break. Anyway, I was with some of you who shop at Costco know Doris, the African-American lady who's very Christian, very outspoken. She's a very nice lady. Well, anyway, she was a lady came up who knew Doris and was also a Christian lady, and they happened to get on the subject of our president. And the Christian lady who was talking to Doris was very happy that Trump has a prayer group and he talks with the evangelicals and they pray and so delighted about it. And Doris said, well, I didn't vote for him. And I was so thrilled to hear that at one point, but also I didn't say anything. I was just kind of listening and doing my job and kept working. But later I told Doris, I said, I applaud you for saying that. I really do. I know you're trying to do the work that you love to do, and we all are, but I really applaud you for being so honest.
Yeah. Honest, direct, nonviolent, and straightforward.
This is Sarah. On behalf of the Social Justice Committee, we had a meeting last Monday, and we are all going to have a chance to vote kindly toward a banner description that will describe what our church stands for. And there will be three choices that we'll be putting out probably by next week, and they'll be up for three different Sundays, and we ask you to vote for the one that you most like and most support in terms of being kind in our world. So be looking for them next week. Related to the Black Lives Matter, but not just Black Lives Matter. There, you know, it will be more inclusive than that. So we're working on that, and it will be in the social hall by next week for 3 weeks to vote. Thank you.
This is Rick. As I've gotten older and maybe a little wiser, I try to pick my battles. And sometimes I find myself not doing what I used to do when I was younger and looking forward to confrontation. When you argue with an idiot, what does that make me? I'm even more of an idiot. So what you talk about kind of sometimes just walking away because there is no, you're not going to win. And all I'll do is get wound up.
Yeah.
And then I lose because I'm the guy that's got my heart rate up and I didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
So, but don't affirm it. Just walk away. So I've gotten better at that. Thank you.
Yeah, there's an old Southern phrase, never try to mud wrestle with a pig. After a while, you figure out that you're just aggravated and the pig likes it.
Hi, this is Matt. I was on the internet a lot yesterday following the coverage, and a lot of people were writing different things about how the perpetrators should be treated and not treated. Anyway, they were trying to put the men there and trying to give them perspective of... This is not coming out as well as I hoped. But anyway... Sorry. They had people on the planes that were being taken off because they were having turbans on. And then they had the Nazis, and they had them saying, we need you to leave because people are offended by your polo shirts. And this really got me because I wear polo shirts all the time. And if I were on an airplane and they tried to take me off just because of my polo shirt, I'd be like, screw you. Just try to take me off.
Yeah.
So it just kind of woke me.
Yeah, we've got time for one more. Go ahead, Eric.
This is Eric. So Thursday night's the Sangha meets, and there's a reoccurring theme, wisdom, compassion, and skillful means. And, you know, the wisdom and compassion part is relatively easy at times, relatively easy to work through. The skillful means part is almost never easy to work through. And what does that actually mean, to act skillfully, to act with skillful means? It means different things to different people in different circumstances. But how does one do that while staying compassionate and while staying wise? And it's an ongoing, reoccurring theme, so I'm putting in a plug. If you'd like to explore what skillful means would look like, come join the conversation on Thursdays.
Thank you. Thank you all for participating in the conversation today. We can't look away from this. It's not going away. And we can't be nice. Thank you.
what else is happening, we can always find a place to be kind. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 1008 in the Teal Hymnal, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place.
Us and it calls us to be kind. So put a little love in your heart. Peace, and may it be so.